This morning, God's word comes to us from the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. We're going to begin our reading at verse 13 and then read through the end of this chapter. Second Thessalonians 2, beginning at verse 13, what we hear now is God's word. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to take your Trinity Psalter hymnals once again and turn to the back section, to page 887 in the back. This is Lord's Day 32. That goes over onto page 888. We're going to read together questions 86 and 87. I'll read the question, we'll respond together with the answer. So from page 887, Lord's Day 32, question 86. Since we have been delivered from our misery by grace through Christ, without any merit of our own, why then should we do good works? Because Christ, having redeemed us by his blood, is also renewing us by his Spirit into his image, so that our whole lives we may show that we are thankful to God for his benefits, and that he may be praised through us. And further, so that we may be assured of our faith by its fruits, and by our godly living, our neighbors may be won over to Christ. Then question 87, top of the next page. Can those be saved who do not turn to God from their ungrateful and unrepentant ways? By no means. Scripture tells us that no unchaste person, no idolater, adulterer, thief, no covetous person, no drunkard, slanderer, robber, or the like will inherit the kingdom of God. Well, this morning we return to our study of the Word of God as it's summarized for us in the Heidelberg Catechism. And this morning we begin anew the final section of the Catechism, the third section. Perhaps you noticed right above Lord's Day 32, it says Part 3, Gratitude. And I think it's helpful at times, we have not looked at the Catechism for a couple months now, to remind ourselves of why it is that we do confessional preaching, why that is important. Isn't the Bible enough? Isn't it enough this morning to have read the Word of God? Why is it we also read the words of man from the Catechism? The Word of God certainly is sufficient. It is certainly sufficient to teach us everything we need to know. And that's what Paul refers to in verse 15. He says, so then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now, when he talks about traditions, he's not talking about just how we do things. He's talking about the authoritative teaching that we gave you, either by our word or by our letter. That was God's word to his people. Isn't that enough? Why is it that we go to the confessions, the Heidelberg Catechism, as well? Well, I want to assure you, it's not because of any deficiency, any lack in the Word of God. The Word of God is completely sufficient to teach us everything we need to know unto salvation. But as I've said many times, the Bible is foundational for the church. Every church worthy of the name church says we believe the Bible. But the question becomes, what do you believe about the Bible? What do you believe the Bible teaches us today? And that is where the catechism, where the confessions can be helpful. They talk about our understanding of Scripture. They are one more entrance into the Word of God. And that's where the confessions bring us, back into the Word of God. The goal is not so much to know what the catechism teaches, but to know what the Word of God teaches. It's a helpful summary of the truth given to us in God's Word, a summary of the gospel. The catechism is a summary of the gospel. Part one begins with man's misery, reminding us that we are fallen, that we are sinful, that there is nothing we can do about it. Which brings us to part two, the deliverance that God has promised and accomplished in his Son, Jesus Christ. That beautiful deliverance section, the longest section of the catechism, talking about what Christ has done for us. And now we enter part three, gratitude. Knowing what God has done, knowing our sin and misery has been taken away through the work of Jesus Christ, how now do we respond to God? What do we do now, knowing this glorious truth? And we respond to God with lives of gratitude. Verse 17 says, "Comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word." Comfort yourself in good works and good words. And that's the section we're entering into. We're going to talk about the law of God, good works. Those things that are required for the child of God to live in godly ways. And good words as we study the Lord's Prayer in section 3. Our thankful response to God for what he has done. How do we live in the light of the truth of the gospel? We live lives of gratitude, lives of devotion, lives that bring praise and honor and glory to God. We're reminded that these good works that we're going to be called to do, these good words that we are called to say, do not come from ourselves. Look at verse 13. "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you." That's where we begin. Even talking about our response of gratitude, it begins with, God chose you. It is easy when we talk about the good works that we do to focus on ourselves, to focus on what we are doing. But our focus begins with God. His work, his sovereign choice is the divine basis for any good works that we do. It is His work in our lives. We don't do good works or say good words so that God will choose us. We do good works and say good words because He has chosen us. This is our response to Him, what He has already done. God chose you, our text says, as the first fruits to be saved. Now, I actually prefer the Authorized Version's reading there. God chose you from the beginning to be saved. He chose you from the beginning to be saved. Our good works are not a reaction to God in that we try to offer something to Him. They are a response to Him, but He chose us from the beginning. God acted first. From before the foundations of the earth, God is the one who made the divine sovereign choice. One of the tasks that I have as a minister is oftentimes when students of our families are applying to a local Christian school, they need to have a pastor's recommendation, and I have the privilege of filling out those pastor's recommendations. Now, we have a wonderful Reformed school, you know, just down the road. One of the charges I had, the high schools were not Reformed. They were evangelical. And so it was very typical to receive this form to fill out. And one of the questions on the form was, when was this person saved? And I'd have to write out, when was this person saved? And I always wanted to write down, this person has been saved from before the foundations of time. Because that's the truth. God sovereignly chose us. And our works are simply thanking Him and reflecting on what He has done. He is the author, the perfecter of our faith. Salvation is first and last from God. This is the basis of the good works and the good words that we do. It is what God has done and what He is doing in us. Our text says, God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. The Holy Spirit is active in us. Our good works and good words reflect His work. He is active in us, applying the finished work of Jesus Christ, bringing us to faith in the gospel. Yes, we are those who are called to believe the gospel, but even that faith we exercise is a gift given by God Himself, wrought in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Through sanctification, by the Spirit, and belief in the truth. The Holy Spirit's work in our hearts and lives, by which we embrace the truth God has given to us, by which we embrace the authoritative tradition, the Word of God now written down for us. Oh, it is our prayer every time that the Word of God is opened, that the gospel would be clearly brought forth, that the Holy Spirit might use the preaching of the gospel to bring many to faith. That is the prayer again this morning. If you are here and do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then today God calls to you. Put your faith, your hope, your trust in Him alone. And know the joy of salvation. Know the assurance of salvation. That's the call of the gospel. And in reaction to that call, we will live and be prepared for good works and for good words. They come from God Himself. Why is it that we now want to do these good works and good words? And that's what question answer 32 talks about. It says, since we have been delivered from our misery by grace through Christ without any merit of our own, why then should we do good works? The answer, because Christ, having redeemed us by his blood, is also renewing us by his Spirit into his image, so that our whole lives may show that we are thankful to God for his benefits and that he may be praised through us. The purpose for our good works is that God might receive the praise, that God might receive the glory. Not to make ourselves look good. We say with Psalm 115, not unto us, O Lord, but to your name be the glory. The purpose for good works, the purpose for good words is that God might be glorified in what he is doing in the lives of his people. We remember what he has done for us. We remember he did not withhold his only son, but Jesus Christ came to live among fallen men and women. The eternal Son of God, who coexisted with the Father and the Spirit forever, came down to earth and was limited. The one who, through whom the cattle on the thousand hills were made, would become hungry. The one through whom the rivers and lakes were formed would become thirsty. The God of creation would experience pain and sorrow. His life would be taken from him midstream in the horrible, most horrible way possible, the crucifixion. And all of this was for us. In response to God, we want to bring him glory. Glory and praise for what he has done for us. We want to show him our thanksgiving. Our lives of thanksgiving bring glory to God. And that thanksgiving is called to be in every part of our lives, thanking him for what he has done, thanking him for the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, the gift we have received from him. You know, it's common for us to respond to a gift in proportion to its size. You know, if someone gives you a small gift, they give you a $5 candle or a coffee cup or something like that. We're thankful for that. And by the way, I love that kind of stuff. If you go to my office, I've got stuff all over my shelves. If you go to my study at home, I got little stuff all over my shelves. I love those type of things. We're thankful for that. And we truly are thankful. But if someone gives you a $500 gift or a $5,000 gift, our thanksgiving often grows in proportion to the size of the gift. And at some point we say, how do I even begin to thank you for this gracious and abundant gift you have given to me? We have been given the gift of eternal life. Our gratitude grows with the nature of the gift, and we have been given eternal life, salvation from an eternal death, salvation from punishment apart from God forever. We are now allowed to live with him forever. And our response must be to bring thanksgiving and glory and praise to God. Christ gave up his glory that we might know glory. Christ gave up that inter-Trinitarian fellowship that we might have fellowship with God. Is it any wonder we are overwhelmed by the gift of salvation? We are to be overwhelmed with thanksgiving to God and our desire to bring glory to God with our works and with our words. to embrace his law in our lives as that rule of gratitude for us. And in everything we do, to seek first his honor and his glory. This is why it is we do these works and words. And these works and words are not something to be done simply internally, but they are to express themselves externally. Verse 16, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word." That is, in the doing of every good work and word. We are comforted, we are assured and established in doing these things. That's what, again, what Lord say 32 says. It says that God may be praised through us, and further, so that we may be assured of our faith by its fruits. That we might be assured that God is working in us. When we see ourselves doing those things which are not natural to us, doing good works and words do not come naturally. By nature, we are children of wrath. By nature, we are fallen and sinful. By nature, we will never do anything good for God. But when we see the beginnings of these works and words, we know it is because God is working in us. These works and words are not the ground of our faith. The finished work of Christ is the ground of our faith. They are not the root of our salvation. They are the necessary fruit of our salvation. If I can put it this way, we know we are saved by what Christ has done. We show we are saved by what we do. We know that we are saved, not by anything I've done, but by what Christ has done. But I show that I am saved by the works and the words. And I am comforted, assured, established in every good work and word. And so, the question has to be asked this morning. Do I look like a Christian? In my actions, in my choices, in my life in the home, in my life at work, is the fruit of salvation evident? Am I bringing glory to God, showing him my thankfulness? Do I look like a Christian? Do I sound like a Christian in the words that I say, in the words that I speak toward God? Am I spending time in prayer with God? The words that I speak toward God, the words that I speak toward others, are my words seasoned with salt? Are they a blessing to those around me? The works and the words will be an assurance to us. They will also be a witness to those with whom we come in contact. And that's the last thing that our confession says. Not only that I may be assured of our faith by its fruits, but also by our godly living, our neighbors may be won over to Christ. By our godly living, our neighbors may be won over to Christ. Our life is to be a blessing to those around us. They are to see, they are to hear something desirable,
something that is enticing and attractive to them. That they might come and ask, why do you live that way? Why do you do those things? And this, of course, gives us an entrance for the gospel. We just spent 2 weeks talking about missions, sharing the gospel. By our lives, we make a statement to those around us that we might have the opportunity to share with them the truth. No, it's not because I'm such a great person, but I have such a great God. A God who has sent His own Son, who would wash away all my sins, who would give me the gift of faith to believe in Him. And if you believe in Him too, these truths are for you. And that God might receive the glory. We tell them the gospel, and we say, what else could I do but live in this way? And God receives the glory as the truth of Jesus Christ continues to go out. Good works and good words. They are not the ground of our salvation. The ground of our salvation is found in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone. But they are the response to God, to what He has done. They bring glory to Him. They bring thanksgiving to Him. They give us comfort, that we might be comforted, established in every good work and word, and that others might see our lives, and they too be brought in by the gospel, and give glory to God. We're going to spend the next several weeks, months together, studying the law of God, studying the Lord's Prayer. May God use these responses of gratitude to assure us and to give us opportunity to share the gospel with others. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we do thank You for Your holy word, a word that instructs us, a word that teaches us, a word that reminds us of what You have done for us. That You have called us, chosen us to be Your own. And we embrace Jesus Christ through that gift of faith. We know Him and love Him because of what You are doing in our lives. Lord God, continue to work out Your purpose in us, in the things that we do, in the things that we say, in our good works and words, not to bring glory to ourselves, but to bring glory to You and have opportunity to bring the glory of the gospel to others. Lord God, hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.